Tonight's shiur, Parshas Lech Lecha, brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Leili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. The beginning of the Sedra, we have Hashem speaking to Avram, Lech Lecha, etc. Hashem says, tells Avram, Ve'ascha l'goy gadol v'avarechacha, v'agadla shemecha, ve'yeh bracha. I will bless you, I'll make your name great, ve'yeh bracha. So, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem, Beitz, Rabbi Yochanan says over there, then in order for a bracha to be a bracha, you have to have two main components, and that is Shem u'malchus. Right? A bracha has to consist of Ruchat Hashem, you have to have Hashem's name, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, you have to have Shem and Malchus. A bracha without Shem and Malchus is not a bracha. So Tosus asks the obvious question. One of the main places where we make brachas in the day is our Shmanasri brachas, our Amida, Shmanasri, right? Lo and behold, there's no Malchus in Shmanasri. We don't say Malchus. We start up Brochata Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei. It doesn't say Melech HaOlam, you know, and it goes through the whole, starts like Brochata Hashem, and then that's it, and there's no Melech HaOlam in the whole Shmanasri. So here's the main tefillah of the day, and there's no Shem u'Malchus. Shem is no Malchus. So Tosa says that the Malchus is when we say Elokei Avraham. That's like Malchus. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham. By saying Elokei, that's like we're saying Malchus. Why? Because Avraham, he was Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the whole world. Right? He was the one that brought the belief of one God into the world. So he was like Mamlich, he brought the Malchus of Hashem into the world. So Mela, when we say Elokei Avraham, that's like the Malchus. Azoizuk the Tosfos. Ah, so with this, we could touch up the Pasuk. Hashem says, V'ezcha l'goy gadol v'avrechacha v'agadla shemecha. And he told Avram, V'yei bracha. What is V'yei bracha? Because of you, Avram, Yei bracha, it'll be a bracha. Because without you, we didn't have Malchus and Shmanasri. Because of you, because you brought me into the world and was mamlich me, now we have Elokei Avraham and Shmanasri, V'yei bracha. Now it turns into a bracha. Now it becomes Shem and Malchus. The Rosh gives a different teretz to this question, Tosus's question, where is the Malchus in Shmanas, right? And he says, it's in the words, when we say, HaKel HaGadol. Right? HaKel HaGadol. So the HaGadol, the Kel HaGadol, that's considered Malchus, says the Rosh. Go. So there's a great remez by the Chida, and he says, it's Merumaz, in the first three psukim in Ashrei, this idea of the Rosh. How so? Well, the first pasuk in Ashrei, and actually in Tilim Kuf Mem Hei, right? It says, "Aramim chelokai hamelech v'avrachashim chal olam ve'ed." So, what do we see in that pasuk? We have here "Aramim chelokai hamelech." That's what Malchus Melech, right? V'avrachashim chal olam ve'ed. So the first pasuk in Ashrei tells us you have to have Shem u'Malchus, right? Hamelech, alukai Hamelech, v'avrachashimcha, we have Shem and Shem and Malchus. Aye, but what? B'chol yor marvarchecha, v'alashimcha l'olam ve'ed. Every day we say bracha shmona asrei, b'chol yor marvarchecha, every day, but what? V'alashimcha l'olam, all we have is Shem. We don't have Malchus. V'alashimcha l'olam ve'ed. Therefore, gadol Hashem u'hulam me'od v'ligdol z'cheker. Gadol, therefore, when we say, akel ha-gadol, gadol Hashem u'hulam me'od, there's our Malchus right there. So this idea is all merumas in the beginning of Ashrei. Okay, it says, next pasuk, v'avarecha mevarechecha, Hashem says that I will bless those that bless you, mekalelcha ha'or, and those that curse you, or I will curse. So the Gra points out, he says, why is the pasuk written in this funny way? It says, I will bless those that bless you. So what should it say by the curse? And I will curse those that curse you. Keep it the same. Right? I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. But it doesn't say that. It says, I will bless those that bless you, and those that curse you, I will curse. It should have said, and I will curse those that curse you. Not those that curse you, I will curse. What's Pshat? So he says, very nice. He says, you have, let's say, a rich person. Okay? And the rich person gives you a bracha. So what kind of bracha he gives? So he thinks in big terms. Okay? He says, okay, I wish you that you should have $10 million. You know, because that's what then the term, a rich person, that's how he thinks, you know, with big bucks. Okay? Now, you ask a poor person for a bracha, what is he going to tell you? He's going to say, you should always have bread to eat. You know, because for him, it's a big thing to have bread to eat, you know. So for him, a bracha would be, you should have bread to eat. Right? So it depends. It's a different viewpoints. And when it comes to curse, also, right? What would be a curse in the standards of a rich person? A rich person might curse, you should never have more than $100,000. You know, because he thinks that that's a curse. What, not going to have more than $100,000? Whereas, you know, many people say, wow, well, if I, you know, it's cushioning me on me, I should have only $100,000, you know. But for a rich person, that's a curse. Whereas a poor person, what would be a curse for him? You shouldn't have anything to eat and you should go around without any clothes and barefoot, whatever. That would be a curse by a nun. Yeah, on his terms, that's a curse, right? Memele, now we can understand the pasuk. What does Hashem say? Vavarcha mevarchecha. Meaning, when it comes to a bracha, and a person wants to give you a bracha, well, I want that you'll have a beautiful bracha. Now, to have a beautiful bracha, what do we want? I want a rich person to give you a bracha. Like we said, you should have $1 billion, right? Because if a poor person gives you a bracha, it will be you should have fair bread, you know. So therefore, Hashem says, therefore, before the person gives you a bracha, vavarcha mevarchecha. I'll give a blessing to the one that gives you a. First, I'm going to give him a blessing, then he'll bless you. Because then you'll have a beautiful blessing, because he's going to give you a blessing of a rich person. So first, avarcha, I'll give him a bracha, and then he'll boom avarcha. Whereas when it comes to the curse, Hashem says the opposite. What type of a curse did I want you to have? A rich person curse. That you shouldn't have any less than, that you shouldn't have any more than $100,000, because that's not such a terrible curse. So there, what's happened? First, I'll let the person curse you, mekalelcha, and then I'll curse him. But first, why? Because if I curse him first, then he's going to be poor, and then he's going to give you a poor man's curse, which is much worse, like we said. A poor man's curse is you shouldn't have anything to wear, whatever, right? So I don't want you to have a poor man's curse, so first I'll let him curse. Umakalelcha. He'll curse you, and then I'll curse him afterwards. So he'll at least you'll get a rich man's curse. Not so terrible. As a side, I saw the Darkei Musar. He points out, what's the lashon of, why are we changing the lashon over here? Right? Vavarcha mevarchecha, both bracha. It should have said, umekalelcha akalel. Why is it umekalelcha aor? Aor also means a curse. It's like a more serious curse. So Darkei Musar says, very nice. He says, it's not such a big kiddush to give Avraham Avinu a bracha. Of course, who would not want to give Avraham Avinu a bracha? You know, so therefore Hashem said, I'm going to give a bracha to those that bless you because, you know, everyone's going to want to bless you. And I'll bless those that bless you. Fine. But on the other hand, who would have the chutzpah to curse Avraham Avinu? That, you have to be the lowest of low to curse Avraham Avinu, somebody who's such a bal chesed or whatever, to curse him? So therefore Hashem says, somebody that curses you, umakalelcha aor. I'm not going to just give him a curse. I'm going to give him an aor. I'm going to give him a serious curse. How could he do such a thing? It's a change of the lashon. Okay. Says the Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Dalin. Vayelech Avram, next Pasuk. Vayelech Avram kasher diber Hashem. Vayelech ito Lot. So Avram went like Hashem told him, and Lot went with him. Avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shanah b'tzitzach. And Avram was 75 years old and left Haran. So they ask, what do you have to tell me that Avraham Avinu was 75 years old over here. What's the, you know, very nice. 75 years old, left Haran. Why throwing in his age? What does age have to do with it? So, from the Darkei Musar and Rav Zalman Soretzka has a nice taich to it, in the Pasuk also, that the Darkei Musar explains, what was the big test of Avraham Avinu of Lech Lecha? Right? Hashem says, if you go, I'll give you children here, you're not going to have children, I'll give you wealth, I'll give you a name, I'll give you, and now go. So who's not going to go? You know, big test of Avraham goes, okay Hashem, I'm going to go. You know, of course he's going to go. Who wouldn't go? Here you're not going to have children, there you're going to have children, here you're going to have money, there you're going to have a name, there you're going to have everything if you go. So what was the big test? So it says the Darkei Musar, Einachanami. The test wasn't if he was going to go, but how was he going to go? What does that mean? He says it's much more difficult to do a mitzvah l'shem shemayim if it's a mitzvah that you get benefit from. If you yourself enjoy it. Right? He gives the example, what's easier to do l'shem shemayim? Fast on Yom Kippur or to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Right? It's much easier to do l'shem shemayim fast on Yom Kippur. Because why else are you fasting if not because Hashem said? But eating on Erev Yom Kippur, oh, this is only for you, Hashem. Yeah, right. You know, it's very hard to separate yourself since you're enjoying it and doing it on l'shem shemayim. So, Mela, same thing over here. Dafkalefe, Hashem said, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that. Okay, now you go, but not for those reasons. I want you to go just because I told you. It's very hard. That's a big Nisayan. How is he going to be able to go only because Hashem said and not, you know, for these reasons when he would really like to have kids, etc. Yeah. So that was his greatness, that he went, how he went totally Shem Shemayim. Mela wasn't saying the Pasuk. Vayelech Avram, kasher diber elav Hashem. Why did he go? He went because Hashem said. Not for the kids, the money, the name. No, he went because Hashem told him to. Ah, now comes the second part. As opposed to Lot. Vayelech ito Lot. And Lot went with him. So Rav Zalman Sarotkin points out, he brings the famous Gra. The Gra discusses that we find in the two expressions when you want to say with somebody. Right? You can, he went with him. You can say ito or imo. They both mean with, im or et, right? Ito or imo, they both mean with. What's the difference, says the Gra? That ito means, I'm going with him, but, you know, but not for different purposes. Right? Imo wins, it means I'm going with him and for the same purpose. L'mashal, right? I could be sitting on a bus, and a guy, another guy walks in, I don't know, you know, the only guy from Adam, right? And but we're both going to Yerushalayim. I'm sitting here, he's going there. So I'm going, I need no say ito, I'm traveling with him. You know, we're both traveling to Yerushalayim. But for totally, I'm going here and he's going there. He's going to do it. Different purposes why we're going to Yerushalayim. But we're both going to Yerushalayim. But I'm going with my friend to hear a shmooze in Yerushalayim and we're getting on the bus and going together. Then I need like imo, not ito, imo. They're not only going together, we're going for the same purpose. Ah, so Mele, he says, very nice. Lot, he also went. But why did Lot go? He didn't go, Hashem said we have to go, we're going now. Why did Lot go? He went ito with Avram, not imo. Because he went for a different purpose. Why did Lot go? Lot went because Avram was ben shivim v'chamesh shana b'tei sacharon. He said, look, Avram Avinu is getting older. He's already 75 years old, you know. Yumesh noseinu ben shivim shana, you know, he's already 75. So he's gonna, who knows, he might go any time, and he has no children. I'm his sole heir, his nephew. So wow, I'm gonna get all his money. So I better hang around Avram, you know, so I'll be able to yorish him. So he also went, but not because Hashem said, he went for the money. So Mele, that's hinted to, in the second half of the Pasuk. Avram Avinu went kasher diber elav Hashem. V'yelech ito lot, not imo, not for the same purpose, different. He went for his own selfish reasons, for the money, as the Pasuk says, Ravram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana b'tzasav echaron. One little short thing, it says, V'avram kaved me'od, v'kesef, v'zav, etc., mikne, kesef, zav. So kaved in gematria is 26, which as we also know is the Shem Hashem. To show us that yes, Avram had kesef, zav, but he used the kesev and hazav l'shem Hashem. He used the zolam hazeh, meshabit as olam hazeh to do the avodas Hashem. So it's hinted to in the kavet. It was okay. Perek Yud Gimel pasuk zayin says vayihi riv ben roeh mikne Avram ben roeh mikne Lot vachni prize etc. So there was a fight between the, you know, Lot's shepherds, Avram's shepherds, etc. Because Lot's, they were eating from other, grazing in other people's fields, stealing, whatever, and Avram said, we gotta separate. So, Reuven Karelenstein Shlita, he asked, you know, so he said, very strange here. What does Avram tell Lot? Therefore, we gotta separate. You know, you go right, I go left, you know. So he says, isn't it strange? Avram Avinu, his whole life, what was his main, you know, purpose in life? To makarav people, right? He makarav thousands of people, nefesh asu b'charon, right? Yeah. and he couldn't makarv his own nephew Lot. No, you go that way, I go this way. That's it. We're separating. Come on, you makarv the whole world. You can't makarv your nephew Lot. What's going on? So he says, like this. He says, if Avram would approach Lot here and say, Lot, why are you stealing? Why are you going to other people's fields and taking their stuff? If Lot's response would have been, Bali, I feel like it. I need the money, whatever. Then he said, Enachanami. Then Avram would have sat him down and give him a whole mishra shmur. Like, how could you do this? We'd have makarved him. But what? That's not what Lot answered. What did Lot answer? Lot answered and said, listen, Avraham, Lamaisa, I knew nothing wrong. Why? Because Hashem promised you Eretz Yisrael, the whole land. So this whole land really belongs to you. And you don't have any kids. I'm your soul, Yoresh, and therefore when you die, it's going to me. So really, all this land basically belongs to me, so it's not like I'm stealing. So therefore, he says, Avraham said, look, I meet the sake with goyim, I do kiruv, but I can only do kiruv with people that are, but with tzaddikim, chachamim, I can't do kiruv with. You're the hole with your thumb, why? Oh, this is the land. I can't makar. I can makar, but goyim, I can makar, right? But not people who use their thumb. We start with a big chacham, a big tzaddik, that I can't handle. Pasuk Yudal, Perik Yudal, Pasuk Yudbeis. Says with after the war between the four and the five kings, the four kings defeated the five kings, and it said that the Vayikhu et Lot vet Rechusho ben Achi Avram veyelchu vehu yoshev bestom. So they took Lot and his possessions, etc., Avram's nephew. Vehu yoshev b'stom. Very, very strange lashon over here. And Lot was sitting in stom. So the obvious question was bothering Rashi. He wasn't sitting in stom anymore, right? He was, but then the kings captured him. So why does it say vehu yoshev b'stom? So Rashi says, because of the difficulty that he learns out, what caused him to be taken? He was taken. What caused him to be taken? Because Yeshiva Toba Stom, because he was in Stom, this terrible place, and he lived there and there, because of that he was taken, captive, whatever. That's what caused him. Definitely not the simple reading of the puzzle, but what else is he going to say? But who Yoshev Stom? He wasn't in Stom. So a nice Musservort from the Maimer Mordechai. And he says, you can learn it like this. Really kipshuto, but the following. That normally what happens when a tsaras comes to a person, what is a person supposed to do? So the person is supposed to look into it, say, why is this happening to me? Why did Hashem bring this upon me, this thing? And then do tshuva and be a different person. Supposed to take the lesson. That's a person study supposed to do. Does. What does Lot do? Nothing. Right? He certain happened, this happened, nothing. Nothing's changed. The same old Lot. That's what the pasuk's telling me. Right here, the kings came, they took him, they feeded him, and Lot was taken in his all rechush, his possessions, everything. He said, wake up, Lot! Maybe you're doing something wrong over here. Wake up! But what does it say? V'hu yoshev b'stom. No, nothing's changed. He's still sitting in stom as if nothing happened. Right? And he was, physically, he was taken away. But his mindset was still, as old stom, nothing's changed, I'm still living there, and that's Lot. Okay, it says Perek Yudalid Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Pasuk says that after Melech Stom came and he offered Avraham Tenli at the Nevet Rechush Kachlach, because he saved Melech Stom, etc. He says, here, take my other possessions and just give me the people. Vayomer Avraham el Melech Sdom, Harimosi Adi el Hashem el Elyon Kone Shemayim Vaaretz. Im Yichud Ve'atzrach Na'al Ve'imkach Mikol Asher Lach Ve'lo Somar Ani Asharti Et Avraham. I'm not taking a shoelace from you, Melech Sdom. Why? Because I don't want you to say Ve'lo Solot Tomar. You shouldn't say Ani Asharti Et Avraham. I made Avraham wins. That's simple pshat in the psukim. However, the Yad Melech. He asked the following question, that the question is asked by many of the Mefarshim, and that is, we find something very strange over here. Right? Avram Avinu saying here, I'm not going to take, I don't take anything from you. I don't take presents. I don't take things from people because I don't want you to say that, you know, you made me rich, etc. But l'chor, we don't, that's not true. Right? Beginning of the Sedra, right? Avram said, when he went down to Mitzrayim, he said to Sarah, Imri na achoti, I tell him everybody, you're my sister. L'man yitav li b'amurech. In order that they should do good for me. Rashi says, yitnu li matanot. I want them to give presents for you. So I should have presents. And what happened after Paro took Sar, that he sent away Avram with many presents. How come there he didn't say, no, I'm not taking the shoelace from you, Paro. No, he takes the presents. He comes back a wealthy man. Kaved meod, like we said before. Right? Where did he get all the money from? Gifts, right? So what's going on? How come by Paro, etc., there he took gifts? And over here, Melchstom, no gifts, nothing. What's going on? So he said, very nice. He said, what's the difference? The difference is that here, with Melchstom, Abraham made a war, right? And he was victorious in the war against the king. So Abraham felt, you know, I'm a little bit nervous over here. Why? Because since I was victorious, I might have the feeling of kochi v'yotzimiyadi asali atachayin hazeh. You know, look, I defeated this person, all these kings, you know, single-handedly with my Eben Eliezer, you know, destroyed the four powerful kings, whatever. So definitely, can I, hey, you know, look what I did, me, look. So therefore, Avraham said, you know, if I take gifts, I might from him take the with what are the gifts? It's the booty, you know, from the war, the shalal. So if I take that, it'll make me, I might feel a little bit of, hey, look what I did. I don't want that feeling. In the case of in the beginning of the parsha with Paro, he didn't do anything. Not like he did something that he might feel, look, kochi v'yatzimiyani. No, fine. Paro took his wife and he gave him gifts. But here, when he did something, he was victorious in the war, he was worried that he might feel this kochi v'yatzimiyani, and therefore he said, you know, I don't want gifts. And he teaches out the pasuk, it's not about being remiss, but cute, the difference. He says, it says, Harimosi es yadi. He says, I lifted up my hand, El Hashem. So just imagine, Abraham is there lifting up his hand. He's speaking to Melchstom. And he says, I don't want to take anything, not a shoelace. Why? Velo somar, not that he's speaking to Melchstom. And I don't want you to say Melchstom, but he's speaking to his hand. Right? Shalot tomar, Mr. Hand of mine, that ani asharti et Abraham. Kochi v'yotzim yadi, my hand, asali et achayel hazeh. I don't want you, hand, to say that. Kochi v'yotzim yadi, that I did it. Shalot tomar, he's speaking to his hand, that ani asharti et Abraham. No. And therefore, there shouldn't feel that he did it. He said, here I can't take any gifts. Okay. Says, Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Dalet and on says we have the parsha with Hagar. Okay, that Avram didn't have any children, and Sarai said, "Take my maidservant to Hagar," and sure enough, she had a child. Vatarva terkirata, and then it says Vatekel gevirta beineha. She was she looked at her Gevirta, you know, Sarah has a light in her eyes because she had a kid and Sarah couldn't have a kid. But Tomer Sarah al Avram Chamasi alech Anochi natati shipati bechekach etc. Vekel benea yishpoz shemeinecha veyomer avam Sarah hine here take your whatever you want to do take your maid servant. So what does it say? Pella veteaneha Sarai vetivrach mipaneha. She afflicted her literally ta'inui veteaneha Sarai. Sarai afflicted her and she ran away. Okay, so Pella, right? How could Sarah Menu afflict her? Okay, you know she was jealous of Hagar, and therefore said, "Oh, she had a kid and I didn't." Oh, and she started afflicting her. How could that be? So saw a couple different forces say the same answer. I have a name from Yitzchak Bruchson. So that's all. That he said the following. He says Sarah didn't do anything different. Okay, Sarah didn't all of a sudden now afflict. Chas v'shalom. She treated Hagar the same way she always did. You know, she was her maidservant, gave her things to do. Nothing changed, mitzat Sarah. Why does it say that she afflicted Hagar? Pshat is that's how Hagar felt. Why did Hagar feel that way? Because up until now she was a regular maidservant. Now she had a child and Abraham and her and Sarah didn't. So she thought, oh, now I'm in charge. Now I'm the you know, not the maidservant anymore. I'm the mistress, you know? And so she, and now when Sarah said, okay, wash the floor. So that now for her to sponge the floor was an inui. Because now she thought she was now in charge because she had a kid and Sarai didn't. So the same jobs that she always had, now she nothing changed. Sarai told her to wash the floor like she always did. Before she did it, okay. Now she felt, oh, how can you do this to me? Because she felt that she's the mistress. Now she's not a maidservant anymore. So that was the affliction. Sarai didn't do anything different. It's how Hagar felt with it. So that others say the same for her. But this sort of Bruchson, he says we can take a big lesson in Musar over here from this. What? He says, you know, if a person finds himself, when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, that this kveid is heaviness, it's hard, oh, it's difficult for me to do the mitzvah, whatever. So he says, what's pshah? It's not that the mitzvahs are so hard to do, it's hard to get up in the morning, it's hard to learn, it's hard. No, it's not so hard. What? If a person feels that way, he has a little bit of the hunger syndrome. Meaning that it's not hard, it's just that it depends on your attitude, right? If you feel, Hagar felt she was now the in charge, the mistress, so now this was, I can't wash the floors anymore, right? But as long as she felt a slave, it was not a problem. So to hear, if we really feel that we're of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem is the boss and not us, and we're just a slave, no problem, it's easy, I'm doing what a slave's supposed to do. It's when we feel that they, you know, maybe Hashem, I don't know, I mean, I think I'm in charge over here. So now, that same job, the same learning, same getting up in the morning for davening, whatever, you think you're the boss, and not Hashem, it's hard to do. That's the Hagar syndrome. Right? That when you feel you're the boss, now it's difficult. If you feel you're a slave, it's no big deal. I'm a slave, so I'm doing what slaves are supposed to do. It's not so hard. And he points out, Al-Pizeh, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shabbos, the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos says Lahazir Bichvod Shabbos. So yes, why you should be careful in the covenant of Shabbos. That's how Hilchos Shabbos start. He said, wouldn't it be better to start with Borer, something like that? You know, why Dafka Kvod Shabbos? Why does it start with Kvod Shabbos? So he says the same idea. Because if a person, there's a lot of halachas. It's hard to do Shabbos properly. A lot involved, right? So the first thing you have to do is you have to be careful of the covenant of Shabbos. You look, put Shabbos on a pedestal, right, and you're the slave, then it's not so hard. But if you're not covered, what do we need Shabbos for, you know? So then everything becomes hard to do. So to be careful that we don't have this Hagar syndrome. Okay, it's like to end with one last maisa. It also explains the psukim here as well. So there was a wealthy man, Veer, and he was traveling with his Eglon, the wagon driver. So the wagon driver was taken, and they had to stop overnight at some place. So what happened? In the morning, the wagon driver put on the Veer's clothing, rich man's clothing, and sat in the Agala, in the wagon, waiting for the Veer to wake up. The Veer woke up, and he goes, Where are my clothes? And the Eglon is sitting there in the back of the wagon. He says, "No, Eglon, get dressed. Let's go. So he goes, "What are you doing? Are you out of your mind? You know, what do you mean? You're the wagon driver." He goes, "No, I'm the Gvir, you're the wagon driver." He goes, "Are you crazy? What are you talking about?" He says, I'm the Gvir, you're the wagon driver. No, fight." So how are we going to solve it? So I said, "Look, they're going to Prague." They said, "Fine, we'll go into the Noda Yehuda. And we'll see, we'll let him solve this." Fine. So they get to the Prague, get to the Noda Yehuda. And they're screaming, "I'm the wagon driver, I'm the Gvir, you're the wagon driver, no, I'm the Gvir, you're the wagon driver, blah, blah, blah," back and forth. They come into the Noda Yehuda screaming, so here's what's going on. And he says, "Listen, I'm a little busy today, a lot of Dine Torah, come back tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, and we'll decide what to do here." So fine. So they leave. So Noda Yehuda tells his Gabbai, "Listen, these guys are going to come back tomorrow morning. Says I, when they come, don't bring them in to me. Let them sit in the waiting room for a while. I'll call them when I'm ready for them." That's fine. So next morning, same thing, screaming. You know, I'm the Gvir, you're the wagon driver. Back and forth, screaming, back and forth. So they come in. They say, the Gabbai says, "Okay, no problem. They sit here in the waiting room, and the Noda Yehuda will see you in a minute." But so they're waiting. And this one's coming in, and everybody's going in before them. They're not being let in. So he said, as time goes on, so I started calming down, because they're getting a little bit, you know, fidgety, and not getting called in. And he's sitting there. They're not screaming at each other anymore. They're just like sitting there waiting. And another hour goes by. By now, they're like half asleep, and they're not getting called in. They're all bored. What's going on? They're sitting there waiting, all worn out. Finally, three or four in the afternoon, the Rabbi Yehuda sticks his head out of his office, puts his head out into the waiting room, and he says, "Okay, wagon driver, get up, come in." So automatically what happens? The real wagon driver jumps up, and then all of a sudden he reads, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the Gevir, oops. But it was too late, he caught him already. So that's how he was able to figure out who was the real wagon driver. So too, say same thing over here, explained to Psuki, right? That we said that once Hagar had the child, she goes, I'm the mistress now, I'm not anymore the maidservant, whatever. So what happened? Hashem wanted to, show her who she really was. And she was sent, so she went away. And what happened? The Malach came. And what did the Malach say? The Malach called out to her and says, Hagar, Shivchat Sarah, where are you? What are you doing? So she said, and she starts talking, like, oops, I'm not supposed to be the Shivchat Sarah. But she was, she was sent away, wasn't there, and all of a sudden she caught her red-handed. She saw that, yes, you are the Shivchat Sarah. Remember that. You see it, you yourself admitted to it. Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, we should all try to stay away from this Hagar syndrome. We should remember that we are of the Hashem. Hashem is the boss. We have to do everything all for the boss. And if we do so, and meshabbat ourselves and act like a vadim, Hashem will shower us with all the good of the masters, shower on their servants, their loyal servants, and wait be'ikr for the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehirah v'yameinu.